You're listening to the Hippie Haven Podcast. I'm Callie, and it's my life mission to empower you with the tools and resources you need to spark positive change in your community. Just over 3 years ago, I started Bestowed Essentials, which has now grown to be South Dakota's largest handmade soap company, and we also make a variety of other beauty and cleaning products. Bestowed Essentials has been recognized by FedEx as one of their top 100 small businesses for 2 years in a row. In December 2019, my team and I opened Hippie Haven, a zero-waste store and community space in Rapid City, South Dakota, with an online shop as well, and of course I host this Hippie Haven podcast. If you're new here, I release an episode every Wednesday, which you can get instantly downloaded to your phone for easy listening by subscribing to this podcast on any of the major podcasting apps. The show notes and full transcript for every episode are available on my website, hippiehavenpodcast.com. You can also learn more about me on the website or by following along on Instagram at hippiehavenshop. Did you know every hair tie you've ever owned still exists? Yep, even the ones your parents put in your hair as a child. This is because hair ties have always been made using synthetic materials, aka plastics, that take hundreds of years to break down. Enter Kushu, the makers of the world's first 100% plastic-free hair ties. Made from fair trade organic cotton and fair trade natural tree rubber, these biodegradable hair ties are designed to last in your hair, not in a landfill. They're strong, non-pulling, soft on hair, and double as cute bracelets. Kushu also makes plastic-free organic scrunchies and more. Visit them at kushu.com and use code HIPPIEHAVEN for 20% off your first order. That's kushu.com, K-O-O-S-H-O-O, and code HIPPIEHAVEN, H-I-P-P-I-E-H-A-V-E-N, for 20% off. My guest today is Gabrielle Thomas. She's an entrepreneur, creative director, and wellness educator. Gabrielle helps women to trust themselves, build businesses, and claim their seat at the table while getting paid what they deserve. Today, we talk about what allyship means, why it's a verb, not a noun, how we can all use our voices to make a difference, and Gabrielle's latest project, Less Captions, More Action. Let's get started. What is Less Caption, More Action, and how did you come up with the idea for it?
To be honest, I've definitely been a longstanding activist in terms of women's rights and just human rights altogether. And I grew up just seeing talented Black women be overlooked and compared to white people, white males, white women in the workplace, but also in personal spaces. So I think that's really driven a lot of it for me. And by nature, like, I'm an entrepreneur, so I'm definitely a problem solver. And when it came to this, I wanted to create a solution-focused path forward toward equality. So all of those things just kind of worked for me, and this was something that's always lived in me, and it was time really to sort of share this gift with the world in terms of, like, this is something that I'm feeling, something that I've seen, and I want to do something about. So I think that's really what pushed it forward for me.
Was there a specific moment recently where this idea came to mind?
I belong to a business Facebook group, and there was a lot of conversation in that group at the time about different opinions about how anti-racism should be happening within the group and whether or not there was a space for that. I mean, I guess the answer is obvious. Of course there is. But at the time, I feel like people weren't really comfortable having hard conversations. So, and they felt that, you know, the group needed to be focused on business. And I didn't feel that to be true. So I just kind of, it was a call to action that really came to me from my knowing. And it was this moment of, like, okay, if, you know, you're hell-bent on making this transactional, then here's a call to action. Here's something that you can do. Here's a mentorship opportunity. Open up your platform. You know, donate money. Mentor someone, you know, give them access to something that can help to push economic empowerment for Black people forward. So as a response to that call to action, it was just a huge outpouring of support with, yeah, you know, it's time for us to stop talking and start doing. So I would say that that was, you know, a really pivotal moment. And I think a lot of it is just like, you know, all in all, in the last few months, I think has been, you know, recent events that's really pushed this along for me. I don't think that there's been a day that's gone by that I haven't cried. You know, it's just like everything is. My mantra really over this time has been like, life is brutal. You know, I'm either shedding tears because something is so brutal and awful, or something is just heartbreakingly beautiful, and how we're coming together and working together. So I think those have really been the two main events that have, you know, really called, you know, my action forward in terms of this initiative for sure.
And how has this initiative evolved just in the last month since you have brought it to fruition?
So many things have happened. You know, we've gathered, I think, probably over 300 mentors and over, I think, about 100, maybe even more, 150 applicants at this point in terms of needing support. So it's been a huge number of people and a huge number of supporters that are coming forward and saying, you know, I believe in this cause. I really believe in using my gifts to, you know, push this economic empowerment forward. So that's been a really, you know, huge thing, that pushing this all forward, as well as a team that's come on board. So a variety of people. So we have like a UX advisor, so a strategist rather. So it's just like more focused on how can we improve the user experience for people? How can we, you know, make things easier? How can we vet the quality of our work in terms of, you know, the mentors coming in and doing their own anti-racist work? So there's been so much that's evolved in the last several months since the start of this program and this initiative, that it's layered in so many ways. It's internally layered in me growing as a person, as an entrepreneur, but also making beautiful community connections globally. You know, it's not just in the United States. It's evolved into places in Europe, Australia, Spain, Turkey. So it's definitely had a global effect, and we're able, Africa, and we're able to support people out there. So its involvement is has been huge.
Are you planning for this project to be in a continuous ongoing thing where applicants and mentors can connect with each other for months or years to come? Or is this more of a short-term, immediate solution?
Great questions. You know, I'm one of those people that the work that I do is very much driven by what I call my knowing. So my intuition and doing purposeful work. And with this, it really feels right. It really fits into, you know, the work that makes me feel purposeful. So I continue to take one step at a time in this process. And, you know, like everything else, it's an experiment in terms of how long will this last? Will this be a forever thing? These are all questions, of course, I've asked myself that you're asking me. And, you know, the answer that I can give at this point is I am nowhere close to giving up on this, like just nowhere close. It's part of my makeup at this point. It's the patchwork that makes me up and my story as an entrepreneur and as a Black woman. So going strong and taking steps, and we're starting to have conversations about looking for funding, angel funding, VC funding. So to me, that's like, you know, my inner knowing, my inner guidance saying we're going for it. So I think it's going to be around for quite a while.
That's incredible. How can we get involved with Less Caption, More Action?
You know, I think it's first people, you know, starting to do their own anti-racist work, right? So if you haven't already, it's a beautiful way to get started into the Less Caption, More Action community. So I would say that's number one. Number two is we're going to start offering training likely on a monthly basis for equality, for equity, diversity, equity, and inclusion training each month. So we want our mentors to be constantly engaging with the information. Diversity education is a huge part of it, obviously, because we want the connections to be powerful, but also to give out quality work. And we also want everyone involved in the community to understand the difference between charity and equality. This isn't about making a donation of time or money or using it for whatever advantages that people might see. This is really about a community. It's really about closing that expansive pay and wealth gap between Black and white people and economically empowering Black people. So we will be doing a lot of education about that. So we invite the community to be a part of that. And that will be an ongoing training opportunity at GabrielleThomas.co starting in the next couple of weeks.
Now, I don't have the exact numbers. We don't have the money to invest in that sort of software to find out. But our guesstimates are that about 60 to 70% of our podcast listeners are white. What recommendations do you have for our white audience to be better allies to Black, Indigenous, and people of color? And then even for our audience members who are people of color to be better allies for Black people?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I often start this with, you know, first and foremost, that foundation of kindness and compassion, right? When we understand someone else's trauma, then we understand why they're pain. And then, therefore, in this case, with Black Lives Matter, then we understand the movement. So it's very important in terms of just our own interpersonal skills to develop that sense of, you know, not why someone's behavior, but, you know, why the trauma? What's happened that would be causing someone to have whatever kind of behavior it is that you're confused about or afraid of or, you know, uncomfortable with? So I think that's number one, right? Like just tapping into that kindness and compassionate part of you and going deeper in terms of developing our own interpersonal skills. I think the other part is for white-owned businesses, white people to really have, you know, a real consideration around where their dollars are going, right? Like spending 30% or close to 30% of your income on Black-owned business and for business and for personal is really, really important, you know, and I would invite everyone to do some inventory, right? Like, where are your dollars going? Just have a really honest conversation, you know, with yourself or your partner or family or girlfriends, right? Like, where's our money going? Are we really intentional about where it's going and who it's going to? Or are we even aware? And I think that if we take stock and do a quick inventory, we will see that our money continues to just, you know, thrive white businesses forward, et cetera. So I would say inventory is definitely number one, inventory of your behavior. I would say the other thing is like, you know, if you're a business owner, hiring Black people, executives, contractors, freelancers, because really like, talent is all over the Black community, and I think that sometimes it's overlooked. And, you know, people that are looking to hire are going to just like larger sources for recruiting instead of looking in smaller spaces that can have like highest quality talent. So I think it's also being intentional about those steps in terms of your hiring, and also being really clear about your hiring, right? Like, we really need to stay away from this whole idea of like diversity decoration, right? I'm going to hire Black people so people think that I'm anti-racist, right? That doesn't send that message at all, because I really think that if you're not really clear about intentions and doing it for the right reasons, it becomes really apparent, right? Over time with different things, especially internally, if you have Black people in your business or, you know, in your social circles and they're not feeling seen, I think that, you know, not the best of intentions to invite them into those spaces, I think it shows itself. So you just want to be really mindful of that. The other thing I think is just like, you know, being a mentor on Less Caption, More Action, I think is a really great way to be a part of the community and to support an initiative that isn't just, you know, looking to, you know, support one or two people, but, you know, trying to be as expansive as possible and as globally as possible to really support the talents that are already there. A lot of the Black people that are coming forward that saying, I need support or I need help to help my business thrive, are struggling with one major thing, which is, you know, visibility. And I really feel like that is a direct outcome of hundreds of years of oppression. So we need to be mindful of that. Sorry, I hope I'm not rambling too much there about that. I just had one more point around commitment to like allow for hard conversations and allow people to show you your blind spots and the willingness to course correct, right? Again, that's another interpersonal skill. Whether you're doing that with someone in the Black community or a friend or a partner or someone that you're working with, it's really important that we're able to hear from others the feedback about our blind spots and make those course corrections. I think that that just makes us better people. I would say that those are really the strongest ways or some starting ways to bridge this gap.
Definitely not rambling at all. I really appreciate everything that you just said. And those are some incredible, you know, things to think about and ways to get started. A question that came to mind while I was listening was, what are some of your favorite Black-owned businesses that, you know, that we can support online, that we can shop online? Because I know, like for myself, I live in a very small rural area in the Midwest where Black people make up about 2% of the local population. And so there are not very many. In my research, I've only found 3 Black-owned businesses in this entire town to support. So what are your favorites that anyone anywhere in the country can shop from and buy from?
That's a really good question. I don't, to be honest with you, I'm not a huge shopper. So what that means is in terms of, you know, purchasing and even like, you know, I think ongoing loyalty to any kind of brand, to be very honest with you, is really what I can share with you what I do in terms of where I shop and why I shop there. I'm always looking for purpose-driven businesses. That's number one. Any business that is, you know, has purpose and intention for existing and they're really clear about what that is. A business that is not only Black owned, but, you know, that is involved in anti-racist work, that's involved in community work, that hires Black people and people of color, that, you know, is very overt about who they are, right, as business owners and brand. So I would rather, you know, encourage people to, you know, really take stock of, again, what you're doing, where you're buying, but also looking a little deeper into where you're spending your money, going to websites, looking at those about pages, you know, really connecting with brands that connect with you and who you are as a person. I think that that's where the most beautiful of connections happen, whether it's a Black-owned or a person of color or even someone in the queer community, which I would say, you know, definitely, like, we need to be supporting all marginalized communities. So, you know, please, like, just really take that time. No, don't go out and just spend money anywhere that it's convenient anymore, but really take stock, because there's a lot of people that are putting in a lot of diversity work, heart work, into their businesses. And that's where you need to spend your money. Like, I know that I noticed with when, you know, connecting with you and going through your website, it's something that, you know, I connect really strongly to, right? Eco living, zero waste living. So I think it's really about that and not, you know, just about, well, I shouldn't buy from this person because they're not a person of color. You know, it's not really about that. Like, let's get a little bit more connected to the work of the people, the gifts that they're sharing, the problems that they're solving, the check marks that they're making off the world's to-do list. That's a really great place to invest our money.
Absolutely. And I think, or at least I hope, every single one of my listeners is also incredibly passionate about purpose-driven businesses. And I know for me, I've been looking, I'm also not very big of a shopper, but I do love my green eco-friendly products, my natural skincare, just because I have skin problems. So I'm always looking for things that'll be better. And there's an online marketplace called Black and Green that I absolutely love. It's all green, natural, like non-toxic, eco-friendly products from Black-owned businesses. And that has been an incredible resource that I've spent a lot of time and a lot of money, a little too much money shopping on recently.
Cool. That's awesome. And I wanted to add that I did notice that, I think it's on Beyonce.com, but her costume designer, I believe, don't quote me, has curated a list of Black-owned businesses and it's being hosted at Beyonce.com. So it's called Black Parade. So there's an opportunity there for you to go peruse and see what speaks to you and, you know, see if you can make any connections that way in terms of like specific Black owned businesses, if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I saw that. That's a really great resource. I think it doesn't just have like product-based businesses either. I think it has some service-based businesses and educators and platforms that are Black-owned to learn from as well, which is so cool that she and her team put that together. You mentioned that you're an entrepreneur. What has been your entrepreneurial journey?
I started off on my journey, let's see, probably about 6 or 7 years ago now. I started off with an organic smoothie truck. So it was like Buddha bowls and organic smoothies and juices, cold pressed juices that we sold. And that was my first startup. And that was, I think, about 7 years ago. I was in business doing that for about 5 years. And at the time, I also worked as a social worker in the mental health and addictions field. Probably now, about 3 or 4 years ago, I really just started to dig a little deeper in terms of the work that I wanted to do. And as I went through a healing process of grief, I, you know, realized that I wanted to continue my work to serve the community, but in a different way. And also, I really wanted to have a more purpose-driven business. And of course, the food truck was. And I did a lot of, you know, eco work when it came to that and zero waste, having a zero waste business, food business. I wanted to have a greater effect on a more global market. So I decided to shift into business coaching. And my real thing for that, again, is like, you know, I've always had this activism in me for, you know, women's rights and women's empowerment. And part of that is that part of my coaching business is really just a documentation of the work that I've done over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. And so I'm kind of taking people on that journey, people that are just starting out, helping them to develop, you know, the mindset and strategy to build the business of their dreams. Really, like, you know, there's so many gifted and talented women, and that people are really get caught up in their own minds. And when entrepreneurs get comfortable in their skin, they find their purpose, their voice, and a path forward. So I really feel like, you know, my work as a coach is just helping people to get more comfortable in their skin. And it just happens to come with, you know, business strategy and, you know, money mindset things. But I really feel like for a lot of women, it's very wellness based. Overcoming some of that mindset stuff is really the path forward. So that's sort of how that came into play. I think further to that, in terms of like going more into the future, you know, my heart is full with, you know, taking on less caption, more action, but also helping, you know, Black women and all women to live healthier, more abundant lives. So I really, you know, my intention is to go really deep into that and bring the Black community, you know, along that path with me in terms of eco living, zero waste living, you know, non-toxic, clean eating, that type of stuff. So that's really the things that are in the background at this point that we're developing some framework for. It's just like money is a tool for change, and it's true freedom is really getting paid to, you know, be yourself and to live your healthiest life. I think that's really some of the things that, you know, especially female entrepreneurs struggle the most with, right? Like putting themselves last. And in this model, we're saying, hey, you know, self-care is the best investment that you'll ever make. And, you know, happiness is key, right? And then the money comes after that. The money really just flows. So I always say success isn't a function of your business. It's a function of your mindset. So that's the work moving forward.
Oh my gosh, yes. As a female entrepreneur, I know that feeling all too well. And I am such a strong believer that women can't be free until they have financial freedom. And unfortunately, so many women today still don't have financial freedom. And I love that the work that you do involves teaching women how to build their wealth without sacrificing their health. Can you give us a few tips on how to actually do that?
Yeah, I mean, I can share some of the things that I've been doing to support me. So, I mean, obviously, pandemic, right? So, you know, immune boosting is still like a major part of things. So, you know, my supplement kit is always ready. I've always got antioxidants in there. I'm always, you know, I'm really big on getting my vitamin D. I use adaptogens when I need to. So when stress levels get high, I, you know, turn to adaptogens to support my body through that. I'm huge, like movement is medicine for me. It's like my creativity, my body, my negativity, all that stuff will creep in if I am not moving. So movement is definitely medicine for me. It loosens everything up, and it really does help with creativity and positivity in terms of, you know, putting this work forward and being a change maker, right? Because that requires a lot of energy and a lot of courage to take a road less traveled and to sometimes speak in predominantly white communities or have hard conversations. So it's really important to, I think, be fueled the right way to do that type of work. I am huge on digital detoxes or detoxes of any kind, to be honest with you. Anytime, I'm always taking inventory. I'm always asking myself, you know, what is absolutely essential to be here, you know, and sometimes that here is, you know, be what's absolutely essential in my space, what's absolutely essential on this website page, what's absolutely essential in this strategy. I'm constantly asking myself those questions and always detoxing anything that, you know, aims to come in and cause distraction and confusion and self-doubt, right? So I think that detox is a really important word, and not being afraid to just eliminate things that aren't serving you and being aware of needing to do that in every area. Sometimes that's just, you know, I'll do a mini detox if I'm cooking dinner. I'm like, get this shit out of my way. Like, you know, I really want to be as efficient as I can be with my time. So digital detoxes are a huge part of that. And I would say just I'm really big on healthy, clean food. I, you know, I love to cook. I love to make everything from scratch. I avoid processed foods, things like that. So again, it's like just fuel for this fight. So I'm really thoughtful about what I'm eating and when I'm eating it and how I'm eating it. And I'm just all as a general rule, I listen to my body. I eat intuitively. And that's the most important thing for me. And I would say probably one of my top tips is just being more yourself. That's a huge part of self-care, right? A lot of us are stressed out being in business or being in the public eye. And, you know, we feel that we need to do things that people will like or people will approve. We tend to lean more into people pleasing because of our roles. And I truly feel like, you know, resistance to pursuing your gifts and sharing it with the world, it just leads to our suffering, right? And that really drags down our health and well-being. So I just, again, it's back to that, like when entrepreneurs are more comfortable in their skin, they really find their purpose. And I think they find a lot of their health in that place, like a healthy mindset, a healthy body, and just a healthy path forward. So I feel like being more yourself is a huge part of wellness and something that I'm always, always teaching. Whether it's a workshop or a talk that I'm doing or just a one-on-one strategy session, it's leaning into who you truly are. And that's what really makes your business unique.
That was gold. I loved that. And I can't wait. You know, honestly, normally when I do podcasts, I listen to the conversation as we're talking, of course, and then I go back and I proof them again. And it can get kind of tedious sometimes to have to do that second listen, but I like can't wait to have this edited and to be able to come back and listen to this again. I feel like you gave us so many valuable tips. So Gabrielle, thank you so much for your time and all of your wisdom and experience today. Where can we go to sign up for Less Caption, More Action, get involved, be a mentor, or apply for support? And where can we go to learn more about you and work with you?
Yes. Thank you for having me, first of all, and for giving a Black woman access to your platform and to share it with your beautiful audience. I am truly humbled, so please thank you. In terms of less caption, more action, you can sign up to be a mentor or sign up to get support through GabrielleThomas.co, as well as there's a one door entrance. So when you get on the site, you'll see a button saying less caption, more action. And you can just click on that and there will be exact instructions of how to move through those forms. In terms of working with me, again, you can go to my website and look at some of the different options. You'll see that I like to bundle a lot of my services. I am just by nature, I'm definitely a bit of a smorgasbord person. So I'd like to pick and choose little things. So I've created my offerings as such. You'll see a lot of different bundles that can support you with your business and mindset, as well as we've got some work on there with wellness. I'm working on an offering right now of putting out some wellness kits attached to support to use those kits. So that is coming, so stay tuned for that, as well as we've got some digital design offerings on the site as well. So it's just a hub for all things business, for all women, especially Black women. So please come out and be part of the community.
Do you have an ETA on when those wellness kits will be available?
We're looking at, again, distribution and everything is delayed. So the hope is potentially 4 to 6 weeks. So I'm looking to source some things that are having a difficult time coming in. I will be updating my Instagram, which is the Gabrielle Thomas. I'll be updating there as well as on my website. So we will definitely keep you posted.
Perfect. So they won't be available by the time this episode comes out, by the time you're listening to this. But go to her website and check that out. And Gabrielle, thank you so much again for taking the time today.
Thank you so much, Kelly, for having me. I loved it.
Now it's time to take action. If this topic is new to you, start by doing your own internal anti-racist work. Diversify your social media feeds, the books you read, and the voices you listen to. For further impact, take a look at where you're voting with your dollars. Look for companies that are owned by Black, Indigenous, and people of color, and use your dollars to support the work they're doing. You can also get involved by becoming a mentor with less caption, more action. Remember, knowledge is power, so if you learned something from today's episode, share it with someone you know who'd also benefit from this free resource. If you share the podcast on Instagram, don't forget to tag me at Hippie Haven Shop so that I can repost it too. I'll be back next week with an episode on getting out of your comfort zone and learning to climb your Everest. The Hippie Haven podcast is scheduled, edited, and produced by our fantastic communication coordinator, Ray Lynn. The best way to support our work is to buy us a virtual cup of coffee. The link to do so is buymeacoffee.com/hippiehaven. Two free ways to support us are to subscribe to our YouTube channel, which you can find by searching Hippie Haven on YouTube, or leave a review for our podcast on whichever app you're using to listen now. This free educational resource wouldn't be possible without your support. So as always, thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening and spending this part of your day with me.